Nikki and I have four grown children and nine grandchildren, and a number of years ago, our two youngest, Elliot and Nathan, Nathan now lives in Fayetteville and Elliot in Florence here, we were at our table, and we'd eaten, and we had cookies for dessert, and there was one cookie left on the table. Well, those two were kind of hee-hawing back and forth over who was going to get that cookie. So I thought, great teaching moment. So sons, you know, you need to think about what Jesus would do. You know, he would want you to share, allow your brother to enjoy the cookie, and, you know, be more like Jesus. That's what you should do. So one of you need to, you know, consider that. And Nathan quickly grabbed the cookie, started toward his mouth with it, and said, "I'll take the cookie so Elliot can be more like Jesus." Classic case, we all arrive here with that same default mode. Me. Being selfish. Self-protective. And we have to learn to overcome that. I mean, because of the sin that's passed on, the Bible teaches us that we have a fallen nature. And we are constantly trying to elevate ourselves in our own ways. And the world lives that way. But Jesus modeled a different way. Because he lived a different way. And he could do that because he is the way. So, I want to talk to you this morning about the feet washer. We call him Son of God, Savior, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and so forth. And so he is. But do you think of him as the feet washer? Because he's that too. It's very intriguing to me that just a few hours before he would be nailed to a cross, he stoops low and washes the dirty feet of his disciples, knowing that one of them will betray him, knowing that another one of him, one of the leaders of the group, would deny him three times. Yet, he went low and washed their feet. Feet that would shortly thereafter be used to run away from him. To run and hide. To run in fear. He knew all that, but he washed them just the same. And I believe you and I will be challenged from this passage of Scripture this morning to examine our hearts and make sure that we are stretching toward the qualifications that Jesus set forth, and one of those is to be a foot washer. The last few weeks, the Lord's had me in these passages surrounding the crucifixion. And now here we are on Sunday, the triumphal entry, headed into Holy Week. We'll meet here Friday for communion, and then next Sunday we'll be back on Resurrection Day celebrating his victory over death. But today the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us about the feet washer. The feet washer. So the Gospels have so much information about those last hours leading up to the crucifixion. But only John records for us the feet washing incident. And interestingly, John doesn't record the Lord's Supper, the establishment of the new covenant meal, the blood of the everlasting covenant that we have as New Testament believers. So what you want to do is you want to read all those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic Gospels. They kind of follow the same chronology and stories and events. But John, the youngest of the apostles that lived the longest, he provides a wealth of teaching that Jesus shared on that last night. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. He's the one that records for us when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane while he was praying. So thank God that that's the different perspectives of the gospel writers as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit to record these events. And so this one's important, and let's step into it and see if we can learn a very, very important lesson today from our Master. John chapter 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments. That would be his tunic, his outer garment. Laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. Verse 5. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Verse 6. Then he came to Simon Peter. You know something's coming when it mentions Peter, right? Yeah. Oh, we're so much like Peter. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you'll know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Who's that? Notice the next verse. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Verse 12. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, now notice this, if you know these things, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. He's just opened another door for us and said to us, here is another door you can step through and you'll be in a place of blessing. If you know these things and do them. So if he was a feet washer, you and I need to be feet washers. Feet washers. So let's talk about that. I'm going to make some observations. First thing I want you to observe from this passage that we've read is that humble acts of service attract the attention of heaven. What's all this foot washing stuff? Well, in Bible days, they didn't have Air Jordans or keen hiking boots or Skechers. Didn't have the kind of footwear that we had. They wore sandals. And for those of you who are flip-floppers and sandal wearers, I have a pair I wear around home. If you go out and spend all day in flip-flops or sandals, just in a normal day, even in our concrete jungle that we live in, by the time you get home, there's a high likelihood you are going to have yourself a set of dirty feet. Right? Now, you may be good everywhere else, but you've been out walking and your feet have gotten dirty. They've got yuck and stuff on them. And so in Bible day, they didn't want that brought into their houses. I remember when I was in South Korea, it's not our custom here, although I will say in my own house, one of the joys and pleasures of life to me is when you get home and you're able to take your shoes off. Isn't that refreshing? Well, you don't know my husband's feet. Okay, all right. That's... But in Bible days, they would wash their feet. When I went to South Korea, it's the same way. I had to learn. You know, when we went to the worship service in this one particular place, you had to leave your shoes at the door because you were entering into a place where God was reverenced. You took your shoes off. But not only there, even when the person that picked me up, that carted me around, you know, was my assistant that translated for me, when they took me to my little apartment where I was staying, and they opened the door, and I walked in. Well, I just walked in the middle of the room. They said, no, leave shoes here. So I had to, pardon me, and I had to go back and take my shoes off because that's their custom. Well, in Bible days, they had, a lot of them had household servants, and the lowest of the lowly, the bottom rung of the ladder among the servants, had the task to wash the feet of the guests that arrived. So what we have here is the Lord of the universe, the one who Colossians tells us, by Him all things were created. The one of whom Paul said, He is the glue that holds the galaxy together. The one who is the living eternal Word. The one who is preexistent, existed always eternally as the second person of the Godhead, God the Son, our Lord Jesus. He who created all stooped and kneeled before these disciples whom He had chosen to follow Him and washed their dirty feet, knowing they would all run, knowing He would be betrayed, knowing that He would be denied. He washed their feet. And then He told them, the servant is not greater than the Lord. So if the Lord washes your feet, so you should do also. There is a sense, folks, we're talking about humble acts of service attract the attention of heaven. Jesus modeled that. Everywhere He went, He modeled this. He healed the leper. Everybody else had to run and separate themselves. He allowed His virtue to flow into the body of a woman with an issue of blood, another unclean situation. He dealt with people who were possessed by demons. On and on it goes. He would serve those He came to save. Saving us. Wow, that's the greatest thing ever. That would have been enough. But He also served men and women, boys and girls, because that attracts the attention of heaven. Jesus went low. He lowered Himself so He could elevate the people around Him. This is a principle we find in Scripture. The Bible says God resists the proud, but He gives grace to those who humble themselves. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and you will be exalted. But the world operates in a different way. The world says, you got to fight and scrap and climb and scrape and exalt yourself and move to the top. We call that the crab grab, the crab mentality. And they say, I've seen this on video, you can put a bucket out and fill it up with crabs. And one of them will work their way up and grab hold and start pulling himself up. You know what the other crabs do? Reach and grab it and pull it back down. In other words, they pull everybody down and everybody perishes instead of working together so everybody can be delivered from the bucket. That's the way the world operates. The world sends the message of success. You need to keep moving up, and the more people that serve you, the greater success you have. But the Bible, the Scripture is different. Jesus came, and He redefined what greatness is. It's not how many people you can get to serve you. It's how many people that whom you can serve. And so, humble acts of service attract the attention of heaven. Now, I don't want to embarrass anyone here this morning, so I won't call any names. We have a brother, and he's been doing this a while. When I get here for the early service, almost every Sunday, and it, maybe he's left some Sundays when I get here and I don't see him, but almost every Sunday I see him. He's out walking the perimeter of this property, picking up the trash. Gets all the trash off the sides of our property, on the sides of the road, out of the parking lot. In some cases, he's picking up stuff maybe that you threw out. He's serving. And he's also praying around the property while he does that. And I would say to you that even before this building was built, he was coming over here praying around this property. Faithful, under the radar. He'd be embarrassed if I mentioned his name. The Lord knows his name. But that's a servant heart. A servant heart. Unseen, unknown, just serving. And Jesus, in an upper room, while the world went about their busy stuff, He humbles Himself and washes the dirty feet of His followers. Second observation. Not everyone you serve will appreciate what you do. That's modeled right here. Because Jesus takes off His outer garment, He girds Himself with a towel, gets a basin and some water, and He starts washing His disciples' feet. Now, we're not told of any interactive conversation until we get to Peter, whom we may want to rename Re-Peter. Because we see him repeating the same thing. But listen, I do believe with all my heart, Peter's intentions were good. We'll talk about that more in a moment. But he's thinking he's helping when he's not. He's talking when he should be listening. He got a revelation earlier, but he's not getting this one now. So Peter didn't really appreciate or understand what Jesus was doing. But mainly here, Judas. Well, all the evidence of the Scriptures point to the fact that Judas was still in the room when this happened. Now, he wasn't there at the Last Supper meal, but he's still in the room, which means Jesus stooped down and washed the feet of Judas Iscariot, knowing, the Scripture tells us he knew, knowing that Peter in a few moments would get up on those freshly washed feet and allow them to take him down to meet with a group of religious leaders who would then plot Jesus' death so that he'd be nailed on a cross. Yet Jesus washed his feet anyway. If we're only serving people for the appreciation we receive from them, then we're not completely in a line with where Jesus is here, because He's washing the feet of someone that's about to betray Him. He's washing the feet of someone who's about to deny Him. People are not going to always appreciate the service you render. Through the years, you know, we will go out to eat after service on Sunday. Through the years, and I've heard this from other people as well, people who work in the restaurants, waiters and waitresses, those in the service industry, a lot of them will testify to the fact, should I go ahead and finish this? That on Sunday, they have to deal with the worst crowd of the week, folks dropping by after service, being bossy, complaining, criticizing, and trying to fix it with a nickel tip. Where's that pen drop? Oh, okay. But seriously, that ought not to be so. It ought to be people out there like can't wait till church is out because they know they're going to have the happiest, most joy-filled, loving, big tippers of the whole week. It's a testimony to Jesus, whether we go north or south with our attitudes when we're out there and we're interacting with people in the service industry. And there's probably not many in here that always pass that test. But let's endeavor to do better. Not everyone you serve will appreciate what you do, but we can appreciate people who serve us. That's one thing we can do here. But also, we can serve without expectation of reward. Because our true rewards will not be reaped in this life. Not in their fullness. We get blessings in this life. Thank God for that. But the ultimate rewards come after the curtain closes. Not everyone you serve will appreciate what you do. Your boss may not appreciate you as he or she ought to. Serve the Lord. He keeps good records. Your spouse may not appreciate you like they ought to. Well, pray till the Holy Ghost gets on them. But realize the Lord sees, just like Hagar did when she was thrown out of Abraham's camp. Not everyone you serve will appreciate what you do. Serve them anyway. Whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through Him. Paul wrote to the Colossians. Next observation from this passage. Sometimes our good intentions can keep us from learning what God wants us to learn. Sometimes we get in our own way and don't receive from the Lord what He wants to give us. We don't get it. I posted on Facebook this week about the bird in the window. And then several of you said you've had it happen in your house. The bird, you know, like we have a rocking chair on our front porch by the window. And there was a bird. And it's on that rocking chair. I kept hearing something pop, 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 peck, you know, real loud. Went in there and it was a bird pecking the glass. This went on like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't know, 100, 200 times. I mean, you could see the spots on the glass. He would peck. Sometimes he'd hit so hard he'd fall off them, and he'd fly back up there and peck some more. So I was asking people what's going on, and it seems like he probably was seeing his own reflection and trying to run off that other bird that was in his nesting territory or whatever, or her. Maybe it was a her. I don't know. But he was fighting against himself. You know, he could have been busy doing what he or she should be doing, but this fighting him. And we do that too. Peter, classic case here. Jesus is obviously the Messiah. God told Peter, He's the one. You are the Christ, the Son of the living. He got that like direct mail from God the Father. Jesus testified. Peter, you didn't get that from a man. You got that straight from God. So he knew Jesus was the Messiah. That pretty much qualifies Jesus to kind of know what he's doing. And yet he's rebuking Jesus. No, Lord. No, you're not going to die. Oh, Peter, keep that from happening. You know. No, Lord, that's not going to happen. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. No, I'll never deny you. I'll die first. I'm going to wash your feet. No, you'll never wash my feet. His intentions are good. I really believe that. He really didn't believe that he would allow somebody to arrest Jesus. Because when they came, he took out his knife, swung, missed the guy's head, and took off his ear. Trying to protect Jesus. And here, his problem is he thinks himself unworthy. And more about that in a moment. Because there's some people I believe the Lord wants to set free from a wrong kind of unworthiness this morning. Sometimes our good intentions can keep us from learning what God wants us to learn. Jesus tells Peter, when Peter said, "You don't wash my feet," Jesus said, "You don't understand what I'm about to do, but you will afterwards." And when Jesus got through, he told them what he was doing and why. All he had to do was wait. But when he says, "Well, you're never going to wash my feet," then Jesus said, "Well, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." Well, that's not good. Peter's getting it now. Oh, I see how this works. Well, if that means I have no part with you, don't stop with my feet. Give me a full bath, you know, head, hands, everything. I just love Peter's heart. Well, Lord, if that's what it means, I want more than my feet. He's wanting more. Let me tell you something. Peter was a leader, and Peter was a forerunner. But I shared a few weeks ago, our strength can be our weakness. But we see this here again with Peter. He's running ahead of the Lord. You see, when you're made to be a forerunner, you're the first ones there. You want to clean the ground, clear the land, move everything out, you know. But you need to make sure you're moving at the word of the Lord. Jesus had given him the word, "I'm about to wash your feet." He didn't get it. "No, you'll never wash my feet." Now he's getting it. "Oh, I see. You need to wash my feet." "Well, then wash everything." He's still jumping ahead. He wants to change the word. You know, give me more, do it my way. Instead of humble, simple obedience to the word of the Lord. And sometimes we as forerunners can run ahead of the Lord, get ahead of God with good intentions. It's like, I can be terrible at this, like sometimes vitamins and supplements. You know, it says, take two. And I'm thinking, if two helps you, you know, that doesn't work. I've learned, don't do that. You know, they really are trying to tell you just take two. But you know, you've got that dominion in you. You can do it your way. Peter's that way. A lot of us are that way. Sometimes our good intentions can keep us from learning what God wants us to learn. Because it's hard to wait. And we have to learn just to be simply obedient to what the Lord has said. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Just what the Lord says. And he gets Peter back at the right place. He gives him further explanation. Thank God for his patience and mercy with us all. Next observation, learn to receive and let God bless you. And this ties right in with what I was just saying. I think we can all relate to how uncomfortable it would have been, particularly Peter, knowing he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, for him to stoop down like the lowest household servant and start washing your feet. There is a very righteous place for every one of us in this room to understand that none of us deserve anything from the Lord apart from His grace. Right? We don't deserve the forgiveness of sins. We don't deserve or merit His righteousness. But it's a gift. So we all agree with that. But the wrong kind of unworthiness is when you want to camp out in that place and not receive the revelation of who you really are in Christ. And the way you keep that in balance is we have to maintain an humble heart. In other words, I'm unworthy for any blessing from God. But my God is faithful. And He said He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So I'm going to seek Him. I'm His child and He blesses me. Not because of my goodness, but because of the merits of His Son Jesus Christ that have been imputed to me. And that's so awesome and wonderful because he actually looks at me now and you as a believer just as if we are Jesus because we're in Christ. We get the full package of the blessings of Jesus because we are in Jesus. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is the gift of God, not of works, because then we could brag about it. We could be proud about it. We could boast about it. But we can boast in Christ. He's my Savior. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's given me His Spirit. Greater is He who's in me than He is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. Old Testament, I'm the head now, not the tail. I'm above and I am not below. I'm blessed when I go in. I'm blessed when I go out. Not because of my goodness, not because of who I am, but because I'm a child of God with the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I have to stay in a place of humility so all of that aligns and works in the right way. And we serve out of that place. We don't serve to get, we serve because we've already received. Out of the overflow, the abundance. But our shame and the wrong kind of unworthiness and shame can shut that down. In other words, we never get free from that to be assured. And we're going to see here that he tells, there's a connection here between in what follows next in this conversation that Jesus and Peter had about you don't need to be bathed, Peter. You're already clean. But your feet need to be washed. What's the lesson? We would say it this way. Peter, you don't need to be saved again. You're mine. But you got dirt on your feet, and we need to clean that up. And that's important to understand. Back to the clean feet. Why? Because, next observation, dirty streets make for dirty feet. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. Just as I shared earlier about you leave the house in your flip-flops and your sandals, you come home, you bring some of where you've been with you. And it's like, we don't want to bring the world into our relationship with the Lord. And here's the thing, the power of Jesus' bath He gives you, there's an overflow of that we need to be good repenters. We need to when we know we've got dirt on us, we need to confess that. As you've heard me say many times, we are complete in Christ, but we are not yet completely like Christ. That's the work of sanctification, like the word Ben had earlier. Those seven churches in the book of Revelation, Jesus was pointing out things. Hey, I don't like this. You know, He calls them out. And He calls out things in our life where we've been out in the world and we don't want to bring the world into our relationship with the Lord. We don't want to bring the world into our home, the world into our marriage. So we need our feet washed regularly. But Jesus told them, you're already clean. The Bible teaches that we're cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. There's another reason to stay in the Word, because the Holy Spirit will speak to the Word and show us those things of the world that's got in us. The Word of God will reveal the motives of our heart. Are we doing things for the right reason? Am I doing it to be seen? Am I doing it to truly serve? Am I doing it for brownie points? Am I doing it for God's glory? All of these kind of things. And the Lord just, I think, since the Bible says He's changing us from faith to faith, strength to strength, and glory to glory, that means He deals with us where we are in order to purify us a little more, to make us more like Jesus, so we go to the next stair step up, if you will. But He's doing that through His Spirit, from glory to glory, more like Jesus. All of Him and none of me let more of Him, less of me, until it's all of Him and none of me. The John the Baptist perspective. That's what we want. Dirty streets make for dirty feet. If you live in today's world, you don't have to hang out much. You can get some yuck on you. I mean, even when you hadn't ordered it, you can just be walking down the street and the stuff you hear and the stuff you see, or driving down the road and the stuff you see, and the world can get on you. And I've discovered that there's plenty of people that can let you know where your anger level is, let you know if you're getting close to being on your last nerve. You know, all of that is just the process of us realizing, oh, there's still a lot of non-Jesus in me that God wants to deal with. That's foot washing. I think that's what he's talking about here. Judas, different situation. Cold-hearted Judas sold Jesus out for silver. I've chosen 12 of you and one of you is the devil. That pretty much called Judas out right there. He knew who was going to betray him. He became very heavy with that because he loved Judas. He did. Washed his feet. Dirty streets make for dirty feet. I remember when Andrew was little and we were teaching him stories in the Bible, and he would say, "Mama, Daddy, tell me that story about Moses walking on that ground with holes in it." We had been teaching him the story, but didn't teach him what holy ground was. It wasn't ground with holes in it. So we need some of that teaching today of what holiness is. It's a simple lesson. It's like Jesus. And what we see happening is people shifting the scripture and saying Jesus is fine with a bunch of stuff Jesus wasn't fine with. And then you got other groups that they're stacking up a bunch of stuff that Jesus is all right with that they're not all right with. So you got religious spirits on one side and licentious spirits on the other. Just be like Jesus. That's God's goal, to conform us into the image of His own dear Son. The dirty streets make for dirty feet. So we need our feet washed and thank God for the power of Jesus' blood to take care of all our sin. And again, that's not for our salvation, but for our fellowship, our service to the Lord and our fellowship with the Lord. Next observation, learn to serve and let God use you. You see, we need to learn to receive so God can bless us, get rid of that wrong kind of unworthiness and the shame, and realize our identity. And by the way, may I add this? We believe here that knowing our identity is really important, right? So, to be true to that, really what we're seeing this morning, we can talk about being rooted in the identity of Christ. There is a revelation of your true identity that will not be discerned or discovered until you start serving. Because the foot washer is who he was. That was part of his identity. And so if we're not doing that, there's a part of the manifestation of the identity of Christ that's available to us and that should be a part of our arsenal that we don't have because we're not serving. So learn to serve and let God use you. And thank God for all of you who serve. We have like 150 people or so that are actively serving every week around here. You who are serving on our care teams, coming alongside of our pastoral care staff, we're getting so many good reports about your calls and your letters and your visits and all that you do. And God bless you. Those of you who are greeters and ushers and work on our SAT team, our security team, those of you who serve in the nursery, work with our children, God bless you. We have people who come here during the week when you're not here and straighten up these chairs, make sure the cards are in the back. When we have our healing service, they come, they get it all set up for our healing service on Saturday morning. There's so many people that are coming and going and doing stuff that a lot of our people don't even know have to be done, need to be done, but we enjoy it every time we show up. Thank God for each and every one of you that serve in that way. Yeah. And I've slipped up on a few people here that were here doing stuff they didn't want anybody to know to do. You know, things like cleaning a toilet, mopping a floor, something like that. God, at one time we had a medical professional. Every week when nobody was there, come in on, I think it was Sunday night or Monday morning early, and come in and mop all the bathroom floors. Get them shiny and smelling good. Would leave. Nobody ever knew it. Except the Lord. I knew it. But thank God for that kind of servant heart. Servant heart. Learn to serve and let God use you. There's blessing. Jesus Christ Himself spoke this truth. You'll be blessed when you do this. Humble acts of service attract the attention of heaven. Don't let shame and unworthiness keep you away from that. And the last thing, as we round third and get ready to slide in home, believers are to wash each other's feet. I grew up in a church that practiced foot washing. That's some of the differences in different bodies of believers, denominations. Some actually see foot washing as one of the ordinances, just like Lord's Supper. That's not my view, since Jesus said this is an example. I think He was modeling these acts of service. But He was not saying it's wrong to wash feet either. So I've been in many feet washing services. The church I grew up in, I have very fond memories. When we would have communion, then the men would be dismissed to the basement to go into a room, and the women would go into a different room in the basement of the church, and the men would wash one another's feet, and the women would wash each other's feet. And I remember, as a little boy, not even waist high to who I am now, being in that room and watching these grown men, one of them get down on one or two knees and take that basin, pick up his brother's feet, and begin to bathe them with water, with tears in their eyes, look up and say, I love you, brother. I appreciate what a good neighbor you are, what a good friend you are. And then at other times, I'd see the man go down and say, I remember seeing at times just kind of just hesitating. I didn't really understand the fullness of what was going on, but then finally reach down and get those feet, then look up and say, I'm so sorry. I've been angry at you, but I ask you to forgive me for how I've acted and how I've treated you. It was like those foot washings opportunities put you in a place where you can't do that if your heart's not right. And sometimes maybe that's what's needed in some of our relationships. An old-fashioned Holy Ghost foot washing. Where we realize, when we get look in each other's eyes and say, forgive me, I'm sorry, I've been wrong. Or thank you, I appreciate you, I love you. How many things go unspoken that might be such a blessing for someone to hear? How many things remain unsaid that might be a key to freedom in someone else's heart, including your own? Believers are to wash each other's feet. And it doesn't have to be with a basin and water. You can wash feet in different ways. That's true. I want to encourage you to do two things this week. First, look for opportunities to serve someone. We're headed into Holy Week. We call it that. Each morning I'm going to try the little devotional I'm doing on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. Just a short devotional thought. I'm going to try to bring something each morning. I encourage you to listen to those as we walk through Holy Week together. But look for opportunities to serve someone this week. Some random act of kindness. Maybe something. Sometimes we need to do things we don't enjoy doing. To crucify our flesh. One simple thing that I do and a number of our leaders do every week when we arrive, We park as far away from the building as we can. Why? So someone that maybe can't get around as good as we can park closer to the building. It's a way of serving other people. It's a way of putting other people first. And there's thousands of ways that we can do that, that will honor the Lord, speak well of Jesus, and cause our light to shine, and maybe cause some hard hearts to soften. The second thing I want to ask you to do is more specific. I want to ask you this coming Thursday night to wash somebody's feet. Why Thursday? Because Thursday is the day in Holy Week when the foot washing took place. Now, I would encourage you to make this someone you know well, someone you love. It may be a spouse, a close friend, a brother, a sister in the Lord. You can use wet wipes. Just get you a wet wipe and some paper towel and wash someone's feet. And don't just wash their feet, but bathe them with your words. Your words of love. Your words of encouragement. Speak a blessing over them. You might get started and want to take all the shoes off in your whole house. Just have a family foot washing. But would you prayerfully consider that? We're not going to have the FBI watching you to see if you do it or not. But as your pastor, I encourage you to consider doing this. Wash someone's feet. If you're working this Thursday, you do it sometimes Thursday. And then I encourage you, if you possibly can, either Friday morning between 6 and 7:30 to drop by here. You can come and be gone in 5 minutes if that's all you have. Or you can come and stay 30 minutes or an hour and a half. And we'll have worship music playing in here. We'll have things on the screen that will be a blessing to you to meditate upon. But we had such a wonderful time doing this last year. We'll have a couple of folks up here on each side. You can come in and sit and just pray and soak and worship. Come up and get communion and sit, or come in and get communion and leave, or come in and sit and then get communion, however you want to do it. Come and go. But it's an opportunity for you to come and remember Him, His death on the cross, His blood shed, and His body given. That's this Friday. And then next Sunday, Resurrection Day. And I'm thinking we might have to order some huge straps to put across the roof of the church to keep the roof from coming off. I want you to bring the best high praise you've ever brought to a worship service in your life. And maybe we'll have so many people, there won't be enough places for them to sit. And so we'll fill this area up here with people because they don't have a place to sit down. And we're going to have, Lord gave me that word about He wanted to fill this gap from the platform to the audience out here. And again, that's not for show. That's a prophetic thing. I believe that's an act of obedience. We're just like today, we have such awesome praise in this house. And it's going to go from glory to glory as we proceed forth. We'll all get into alignment. But a big component of the Christ life is having a servant heart. I want to do better. Pray for me. I want to smell like sheep. I never want to be too good to clean a toilet if it needs cleaning. Those kind of things. We don't want to be entitled. All that stuff. We don't want to promote ourselves. We want to promote Jesus Christ. That this city, when they come here, they'd be smitten with how good Jesus is. That where you work, around your desk, around your work area, there'd just be an anointing coming from you just from how you treat people, how you love people, how you speak to people. That people are attracted to that. Listen, heaven's not the only place that's attracted to a servant heart. People are looking for that and they just don't realize it. I want you to stand with me if you would. Our worship team is making their way. Our prayer team members are coming forward right now. And they'll be here to pray. And across this audience, if you are here and you've never given your life to Christ, He not only washed His feet for you, He shed His blood for you. Not only washed feet for you, but He shed blood for you. He gave His body for you. And you can be saved today. You can know what it means to have your sins forgiven and have joy and peace in your heart. Maybe you need to recommit your life to following Christ. Your feet are dirty. He's still the washer of feet. And I really want to, if you are here and you don't have full assurance of your salvation, you know, a lot of people are like, yeah, I know I'm saved, but I'm just, you know, I don't have. You need to be assured of that. The devil will use it against you until you know that you know. Come and let somebody pray with you and just make sure and settle the question. And live as God's child. Move beyond the sense of shame, not measuring up. You've been qualified by Jesus Himself. For you to look in the mirror and say, I'm not good enough as a believer, is to say Jesus is not enough. You need to be free from that kind of thinking. So, Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that across this room You would move upon hearts now. And I encourage you to make your way forward. If God is speaking to you and you need prayer, if you want to come pray at these altar benches, you can just come up. You and Jesus can just hang out together here and allow His Spirit to move and work on you. If you need prayer, let somebody know up here. They'll be glad to pray with you. Just come on up right now. Don't delay. Come on forward. Any others, just step out. Want to recommit your life. Maybe you need prayer for healing. Maybe you're carrying the burden. Holy Spirit, have Your way in this room right now. If you need to forgive someone, do that business with God right now. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I celebrate. I magnify. I bless and I praise the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood He shed. It is enough. It is more than enough. He sealed an eternal covenant through His blood. It passes every test of God. It can do what it's always done. Come to Him now as we begin to worship. You just come. Oh Lord, have Your way. Have Your way.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure.
Come on up. Any others?
That He should give His only Son to make a wretched dread.
You and the Lord can do business right here in this altar right now.
How great the pain of fearing Lord. The Father turned His face.
Are there others? Made some kind of decision in this service today. Maybe you recommitted earlier in the service, gave your life to Christ. But if you made a decision today, please take one of those cards and give us enough information so one of our staff can get in touch with you. We'd love to follow up, have prayer with you, talk to you. No high pressure stuff, but just get to know you and minister to you. Just fill that card out and drop it in the offering boxes. We would greatly appreciate that. And let's walk through this Holy Week with our eyes on Jesus and our heart open to whatever He wants to do in us this week. Amen. May we lift our hands now. Oh Lord, just repeat after me. Oh Lord Jesus, have Your way in my life this week. Fill me anew with Your Holy Spirit. Baptize me afresh with Your love. I desire to follow you, for my light to shine, for my love for you to show. So I want to leave here today, go into this world, and bring you glory. Now look right here, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I charge you, go forth and change this world by lifting up Jesus to the glory of God our Father. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for His presence here today. This altar remains open. God's blessings to you. Thank you for being here today.